Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm David Marsland, and this is The Leader.
I called my mum, and I said, "Mum, Dwayne's been stabbed." I remember saying, "Oh no."
Back in April, this Crime Stoppers campaign launched as the Met Police recognised knife crime in London is on the rise again.
She didn't see what I saw. His hand was just hanging, so lifeless. When I saw that, I knew he wasn't going to make it.
We're now into July, and the city has seen 22 of its teenagers meet violent deaths. 20 of them were stabbed. The worst year ever for young deaths in London was 2008, when 29 were recorded. Campaigners fear this year will inevitably pass that. The Evening Standard's investigations editor David Cohen's been looking into the problem, and you can read his work in the newspaper and online. He's with me now. And David, from your research, do we know why knife crime is rising?
To that end, I spoke to about a dozen what they call detached youth workers. These are young people on the front line working with youths who are vulnerable, disadvantaged youths. So the first thing they said to us is, during lockdown, the beefs, the feuds never went away. They just went online and they got burnished online. And when London opened up and people who had been enemies online bumped into each other or saw each other on the street, things seemed to go worse than ever. I mean, they talked about a perfect storm because we've got a combination of new factors and then the old fault lines that were present before, often due to austerity, and these coalescing to produce a toxic package. And so what you have is delays to mental health services. Young people seeking mental health support are now face 8-month delays.
But this isn't a new problem, David. Haven't there been lots of initiatives to try and bring knife crime down in London and elsewhere?
The government have been commended. They set up a 200 million youth endowment fund to put into organisations tackling violent crime. That's over 10 years. However, this has to be set against the fact that in the last 10 years or so, 750 youth centres have had to close because of starvation of government and local authority funding. All the government money, over 90%, has gone into the National Citizen Service, which was a Tory flagship project, which mainly targets children who are not on free school meals. And so a tiny percentage of the whole budget, the youth budget, went to charities tackling vulnerable youths on the front line. And all these, with these youth centres and boxing clubs closing, there was a reduction of safe spaces for young people to go into.
But what about the policing response, David?
So we've had police cuts, and sometimes, in most cases, the cuts have fallen on safer neighbourhood teams and school officers who were attached to schools. And of course, these are the officers who do the social glue, who do the positive community relations, and for which police officers very seldom, if ever, get commendations. Of course, they get commended for arrests and things like that, as well they should. Nobody is saying, everybody's recognizing what a tough job the police have, but also saying that you know, you cannot stop and search your way out of this. And for every 10 stop and searches, maybe two are successful, which means you've further alienated eight people. And young Black people are 19 times as likely to be stopped and searched as a young white person.
And something else you've been campaigning on recently is the relationship between exclusions, pupils being taken out of classroom environments, and knife crime. Is that also adding to this problem?
A 70% rise in permanent exclusions has been linked to rising knife crime and young people being groomed into county line gangs. So one of these youth workers said it was so frightening. One young person they're working with quite successfully had a lot of problems, but within 6 months of being excluded, they were dead. And so it had gone from a situation difficult but with promise to a dead teenager. And each of these dead teenagers is not only, it's a huge tragedy, of course, for the family, but it's a stain on our capital of, you know, it used to be that when Damilola Taylor was killed, I think 21 odd years ago, this was front page news. Now we've had 22 young people killed on the streets of London. It's no longer front page news every time. Today, the front page news is that a seven-year-old brought a knife into school. And what's so upsetting about it is that the charity that was called in by the head teacher to provide mentoring for the seven-year-old who said he wanted to stab another young kid at the after-school club, this charity called Lives Not Knives say that they have been called by at least two or three head teachers a month asking them to come and deal with major knife incidents that involve children as young as seven and eight.
We've had 22 teenagers suffer violent deaths, 20 of them through stabbings. Is this going to be another record year for our young people being murdered?
So we haven't even begun the summer. This is traditionally the worst time for youth violence, hence the worry that we could be facing the worst year since records began. But obviously, we hope we don't get there. But that is the concern, David.
So if we are to stop us having this record year, what has to happen immediately then?
Whew, that's a difficult one. I mean, the solutions clearly flow from the diagnosis of the problems. And one of the things that was said to me, which I thought makes a lot of sense, is that just like young people get sex education in school, so we now probably need to start introducing education about youth violence. For a 7 or 8 year old to bring a knife into school, they clearly don't really understand the consequences. And for them, the worry is that by the time they are in their early teens, they get desensitized. I have to say that that story of the 7 or 8 year old coming into schools is possibly not a situation that currently exists throughout London. There are some boroughs that are worse than others. But what I am hearing that is that throughout London, it has got younger and younger, and it's young teens of 13 and 14 that are most at risk. And, you know, one of the things that I just cannot understand is how the government puts 90% of its funding into the National Citizen Service, which does a three-week summer program. That's it, 3 weeks with mainly middle and low-income families. I think about, you know, less than 20% of them will be on free school meals. And 10% of the budget is going to the charities that really tackle the really hard-to-reach kids. Now, that is giving a message to those kids, your lives don't matter. And if children feel there is no hope, and their lives don't matter, what youth workers are saying is that if they feel there is no hope, they act with more recklessness in the present. So we've got to give them a sense of a future if we want to protect the present.
You can read more from David's investigation in the newspaper and at standard.co.uk. And that's the Leader podcast. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.